Thank you for taking the time to listen to our weekly service. This is a listener-supported ministry, and we ask that you pray and see what God would have you give. Now let's get to our sermon for today.
A couple years ago, I guess when I was here, I preached a message about cultivating Christians, and it follows the parable of the sower when Christ sowed the seed. And we know that the primary interpretation for that is salvation, where Christ talks about the sower, and we're going to go into that verse and read it. But I want to think about, I want you to think about what we call a secondary interpretation. You know, primarily it's talking about salvation, but I was challenged by this. We had a speaker at church after a retreat, and he kind of preached this message from that standpoint, that the secondary interpretation is that how does this to apply to us as Christians? Think about the same parable again, and what does that mean in our lives? So that's what we're going to look at today. So if you would, if you're not already there, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. Now, last time we went through this was very extensive, went into a lot of depth. It was in Matthew 13, a parallel passage. I think it's at least in one other book in the New Testament where the same parable is told that Christ had gone through. So let's start in Luke chapter 8, verse 4 through 18. So in verse 4, a great crowd was gathering, and people from town to town came to him that being Christ. And he spoke to them in a parable. A parable is something, it's a teaching. It's like a way to say something that they would get something similar that they would understand, like a story. So he tells this parable, and again, to reveal this truth to them. He said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, or spreading seed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air devoured it. Some other seed that was spread fell on rock, or very stony rock, hard ground. But it was enough that it would grow up a little bit. It would take root, but it would wither because it had no moisture. And we'll explain a little bit. But it's more talking about there was no root system to really trap or accept the moisture or take the moisture out of the ground. And continuing in verse 7, some of the seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it. They grew up together and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. So as he, Christ, said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Very interesting thing to say. So I can imagine there was a lot of people that just maybe dumbfounded, like, well, what was that about? You know, or just went over their heads, or, okay. And even his disciples came to him and asked him, and said, well, what was this parable about? What did it mean? And it's interesting here where Christ says this to them. He says, to you, his disciples, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. Remember, he's teaching them and discipling them all through this time, preparing for a day when he won't be there and they'll be carrying on the ministry. So he's preparing them. He says, it's been given to you to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others, they are in parables, or he's speaking these analogies about the kingdom of God, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. And he goes on further to go ahead and explain it. So he says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Again, remember, this is talking about that primary interpretation about this passage where it's talking about salvation. Continuing in verse 13, and the ones on the rock are those who, this is the seed that fell among on the rock, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what seed fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares of riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that that falls into the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Let's go ahead and pray as we delve into the meanings of this passage and how we can apply it to our lives. Dear Lord, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that you've not only sowed the seed for salvation, Lord, but also your word is a living thing that is always a resource for us. And just help us to see our need for your word and the working of the Holy Spirit in our life as we look through this passage. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So again, that primary interpretation was salvation. Here, we're strictly going to kind of look at it from a standpoint. How does this affect us today in our lives? You know, we've had that seed planted in our heart. It has grown up in us. But now let's look at this passage again. Remember, we said before that it wasn't a one-time thing that Christ spreads the seed or sows the seed. Well, who is the sower? Let's jump into that. In the handout, I kind of gave you that as a topic, so if you want to take some notes there. So who is the sower that scatters the seed? It's Christ. It's obvious. Christ is kind of talking about himself. Because if you look back in Matthew chapter 13, verse 37, he even says there, the person who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. So that's Christ we know is the Son of Man. So Christ himself is the sower. So he goes out and he sows the seed. And it's important to note that he does it indiscriminately. He doesn't say, I'm only going to sow it in this patch of earth that's been prepared. I'm only going to sow it here in the shade or this or that. He gives everybody a chance. He sows it everywhere. And in addition to Christ, it can also be his ministers. I mean, it's not just the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working in folks, and Christ obviously started the preaching ministry, but he turned it over to his disciples. And then down through the centuries, it's now us as well. So we're also the sowers of the seed, his ministers. In 1 Corinthians 3, chapter 9, it says, for we are God's co-workers. You are God's farmland and God's building. So it's also us that is sowing the seed. So that's sharing the gospel with friends and family. And again, indiscriminate. We're not going to pick certain, well, that person, they look like they're pretty good, and I think they'll believe the gospel, so I'll share it with them. Or that person, they're kind of nasty or doubtful, or they're into science. I'm not going to share it with them. We can't make that distinction. We don't know where it's going to take root or be planted. So we just have to share it with everybody and not qualify where we share the seed. So who was the sower? Obviously, it's Christ, and we are the sowers. What is the seed? The seed sown is the word of God or the gospel. In Matthew 13, 19, it's the message about the kingdom being everlasting life and living with Christ in eternity. Like I said, it does not discriminate, and the word is powerful. It's discerning. It's the sword of the Lord, it's been called before as well. Even in John 5:25, it has the power to raise the dead. So it's very powerful. And there can be an immediate response. Some people may respond immediately. Others, there may be no response. Or there may be a response that we can't see. So that is the seed, is the Word of God. And we have to continually be looking to do that. So what does that mean for us, though? Like I said, this secondary interpretation. Who is the sower? So where is this coming in our life now? If we focus to ourselves, we're responsible ourselves to learn the Word of God. We have to seed ourselves with Scripture. And not only just reading and memorizing Scripture, but like we're doing here today, gathering together, learning what the Scripture means. You could be reading other books that talk about Scripture or certain aspects of Scripture. Be very careful about who the authors are and what the books are trying to put forth. Always test it with the Word of God. But that's another way we can do it. The internet is just amazing. Again, there's a lot of bad stuff out there, but the resource, you can find so much good information as well on the internet about studying God's Word. And kind of breaking it up like that kind of makes it more interesting and can expose you to more viewpoints and perspectives on the Word of God. So we're kind of responsible to do that ourselves. Now, here's where we really come into the heart of the matter, the different types of soil. What is that soil? It's kind of the attitude or where we're at is the soil. Some of the different types of soil it talks about, the ground in which the seed is sown is the hearts of people. In our heart of heart, where is it getting through? Are we letting it in? Are we nurturing it? You know, each one of us has a different personality. We're products of our environment or what we've been exposed to in life, our families, circumstances. So we all come at it from a different standpoint, how we're going to respond and what we're going to do with the Word of God in our lives. And we have different qualifications, and so accordingly, the success of what the Word does in our life will be different for each of us. So, yeah, man's like heart is like a soil. It's capable of being improved. You can enrich the soil, as we said, as we study, and as we put it into practice, and all of these things to help us to bear fruit, to live a life pleasing to God. So let's look at the different types of soil. I'm not going to keep jumping back to the passage. You're pretty much familiar with it. But the first one he talks about onto the path or the trodden down path. I think I've used the illustration last time. It's kind of like, you know, we don't go out and sow seed for planting wheat. It's not in our mindset. We don't grow up with that here. There's people in different parts of the country or world that do that, but typically not. What do we do that's similar? Well, it's maybe putting seed for growing a lawn. There's certain types of grass that every year you have to reseed it. And I go out there with a spreader, and it spreads it, and some goes into the flower beds. It loves to grow there, but I don't want it to grow there. Some goes onto the lawn, which is where I want it, and some goes onto the sidewalk, nothing's going to happen to it there. So it's talking about that kind of, you know, where the soil lands. So that place where it hits the hard ground, when you think about in a heart standpoint. So as we hear the Word, today's message, a message you hear on the radio, a message you watch on TV or the internet, or if you're in church outside of here, you're going to hear a message, and that seed as a Christian is going to come to you. And what's our response going to be? What's our heart attitude, our heart condition? Is that hard ground that the seed is coming to, the Word of God? We can be closed-minded to anything new in our life, even as Christians. even as a Christian, we may not be open to spiritual change or having anything change our lives. I've heard from Christians like, look, you know, I've said this, I understand, and they'll go through the plan of salvation. And he says, but that's enough for me. I don't need to do anything else. And they don't want to hear it. They just totally tune you out. They just want to continue going on doing. And we understand from studying God's word how that is detrimental and how that is a very limiting thing in their life, that they could have so much more and God can do so much more for them. But they just harden their heart to that. So they're not open to that. They don't take heed to it. You know, maybe they're cold or antagonistic because they've had heartache. Yeah, maybe at one time they were on fire for the Lord. Everything was going great. And then something happened, lost their business or lost a child or lost, you know, something in their life, and it made them bitter. Now they no longer want to hear it, and they kind of close their heart to God's word. They may even say, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to do my thing. I'm just going to sit there. But just don't ask me to do anything else. Unfortunately, that's all too common in our churches today. They may not want to listen. They may be under conviction, and they're just being rebellious. You know, we just went through a study of Noah and Jonah, and he was supposed to preach, but he to the Ninevites, but he was rebellious towards God, and he kind of ran the other direction. So there may be people like that, you know, that are Christians. The Word of God has no impact in their life because they're either bitter or they're rebellious. Or another type of hard ground is people that are careless listeners. You know, they'll hear the Word of God, but not give it a second thought. You know, they're used to going to church, used to listening to the Word of God, but they've been doing it so long without trying to apply it to their life that it just kind of goes in one ear and out the other. The Scripture talks about in the parable that, you know, their hearts are hardened. You know, they're not bitter, they may be pleasant, but they're just not in the habit of applying God's word or principles to their life. And God says that we have, just like ground that's become hardened, it has to be broken up. They have, you know, plows and rototillers and all that and maybe even put fertilizer, different things to recondition the soil. I was thinking, I was looking for an illustration or a story, kind of a humorous story, something to follow along with this. And it's hard to find a story that goes with a parable because it's already a story. You know, I don't have to have something else as an illustration. And I kept finding all these websites with farm jokes. And the one that just came to mind with the fertilizer was a farmer was heading out to the field, and the little boy says, "Where are you going?" He goes, "Well, I'm going out to fertilize the strawberries." He goes, "Oh." He says, "I like it much better with ice cream." But, you know, we can put those nutrients into our life so that the word has a place to grow in our life. So these careless listeners, you know, they if it's broken, that hard ground, it needs to be broken up. So let's move on to the next one, the stony ground, or the rocky ground. And these are folks that, again, they've been saved. It can be any one of us, but for some reason, they'll hear the word, and all you've heard this, all good intentions. It's like, yeah, that was a great message. I really need to put that in practice in my life. And, you know, a week later, it's forgotten. You know, they try, it starts, but doesn't really sink in. You know, we have that thin skin sometimes. And what happens over the long term is when we hear something, and or we're convicted by a message, and the Holy Spirit convicts our heart, and we think, you know, I really need to change that in my life, and then I don't do it. We don't let that root of that truth sink into our life, and we become disobedient. And the more you do that, the more times you're convicted about something, you just, I'm not going to do that, but that's a sure a great idea. Eventually we become resistant to the Holy Spirit. And we may also have ups and downs in our lives. There may be times when we're on fire, we're really doing something, but something takes us down, you know, and we don't get a chance to, you know, to let that truth sink in or put it into practice in our life. So we can also have that up and down. So this kind of people, you know, they'll only go so far. You know, as Christians, we'll hear something and we'll take it so far. You know, we'll at once receive it with joy, 1 Thessalonians 5:21. But we won't do anything else with it. It's because we're not letting it root into us. I had some other scripture that I'm not going to go into here, but if you want to write down Hebrews 3:13 about being disobedient and not having that root in our letting things get into our penetrate and make a difference in our life. 1 Peter 4:12 and Colossians 2:6-7. I'm not going to take the time to look at those right now, but you can look at those on your own. You know, a lot of times also with the stony ground, you know, we'll hear something in a message and we're open to it. And we'll even try to put it into practice in our life until something steps on our toes. And then we kind of turn our back. All of those are kind of like emotional responses rather than really letting think about things and put them into place. You know, these are quick growth. I'm just going to run through some things here. You know, they'll endure for a little while, but we shouldn't expect folks to persevere. You know, maybe when hardship comes along, it knocks us off the path. 2 Timothy 2:3. You know, God's requirements of personal discipline may seem too difficult. You know, we want to do it. We have that heart or that emotional desire to do it, but putting it in practice and keeping it in practice, it becomes too difficult for us. And like I said, persecution or tribulation may come in our lives, and that will knock us off. Thorny ground. This is the third one that was spoken of. After the events of the last couple of weeks, I think this is where I'm living right now as a Christian, and I need to get over this. I'm not talking about anything outside of my personal world. I mean, I've been working. We've been preparing for a system change at work. It's been very complex, very involved. We've been working 4 months towards this. We started it last week. And I've worked 35 hours of overtime the previous week. And 40 hours. So I've been working like 70, average of 70 hours a week on this. Didn't get home till 4 in the morning one night. Got 2 hours sleep and had to go back to work. On the way here today, I was coming the same way I go to work and realized, like, whoop, I'm heading to work. I'm not going to State Line. So I had to turn around. So it's just a crazy week. So what happens when you get a week like that? Or you get ill, or you're in the hospital, everything else falls away. Every good intention, scripture reading, prayer, all these things I should be doing in my life. You know, so as we look at this parable and apply this secondary interpretation as Christians, you know, the word is there, and it takes root and starts to grow, but something comes in and becomes a stumbling block for us. In my case, it's been work and putting all these hours in. We need to make time for word and prayer. And again, I just jotted down the Gospel of John, chapter 6:63. Please write that down and maybe look at it later. Other people, you know, it may be, you know, instead of persecution, it might be prosperity. You know, I mean, I was working, that's a good thing. Other people, hey, you know, great Aunt Edna died and left me $10 million. So, you know, we were talking about sailing around the world on a cruise ship. Maybe that's what's keeping us away from the word, you know, having things too good or living the good life, supposedly, quote unquote, good life. So these are those choking thorns that he talks about. Thorns come into the world with sin and are fruit of the curse. They divert us from our duty, doing what we know we need to do, keeping us from doing the things we should be doing. You know, I'm sure every age people thought the same thing, but we hear it all the time. It's like, you know, life is so busy today. It's so cluttered. Now, I will say this. I don't think I've ever seen this before. This is the first time I'm noticing it. It was the day after Halloween and Christmas lights are going up. We haven't even got to Thanksgiving yet. I see so many houses lit up. So there's this spinning up, this wanting to do more and more. And I don't know what that's an indication of, but it's just something I thought. And being so busy with work, I mean, we losing track of what day it was. Just crazy, barely following even the election that happens. Like, well, okay, well, let's got to get back to work. But these kind of, you know, the cares of this world, all these things that come in, can really affect us as Christians. And there's things that we don't even have, we don't even know that's happening. You know, like we're talking about grass and roots, and sometimes there's things that are underground. We don't see them until they pop up someplace else. So we have to be very careful about what's in our life and what can pop up. And we talked about the deceitful of riches. I know that's not a problem I have. I don't know about anybody else here, but the deceitfulness of riches, you know, rich people tend to rely on their money, rely on themselves, or this A-type personality, they're hard chargers, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's not me. I just want to go home and be a couch potato. Maybe that's my, you know, Netflix is my deceitfulness of riches. I'll sit there and watch that instead of doing other things. So what's the point of all this? Kind of to sum this up, you know, true Christians will bring forth the fruits of righteousness. Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 8, you know, Christ says, "This is how my Father is glorified, when you produce much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." I thought this was an interesting observation. Even for, you know, that good soil, it may not be perfect soil. My dad used to do a thing where he'd make some hardware cloth and he'd have like a frame, a wood frame, and he would take the soil and put it on there and shake it out so that only the soil came through, so that almost the smallest pebbles and rocks he would get out of there and try to make this perfect loamy soil. But that may not be the case in this. There still may be stones or thorns or weeds. I know as much as I treat my front lawn, I still have certain types of weeds, no matter what we do. But we overcome that and we get on top of that anyway. So, but they shouldn't hinder our fruitfulness. Christians are not free from sin, but we are free from the reign of it. You know, there may be weeds, but we don't let the thorns grow up and choke us. I had a pastor that used to say, you know, I can't prevent birds from flying over my head, but I can prevent them from making a nest in my hair. So put that as a spiritual application. Think of things in our life. It's like, yeah, I can't turn that off. I'll see that on TV, but I don't have to sit there and I have a choice. I don't have to dwell on that. I can take a stand about that. Or someone in my life that may be, you know, dragging me down. So we have that kind of choice. So some of the things that we can do to make sure that we're working to get fruit in our life, we need to be conscientious hearers. Not like the first illustrations where we're hardened to it or we just kind of casually, you know, this is the Word of God. I mean, Christ died for this, and apostles suffered. And we have this legacy, this availability of the Word, and God wants us to be fruitful and to be a testimony for Him. So we want to be conscientious hearers, not only hear the Word, but study to understand it and how it concerns us. And do it rationally. I mean, there's people that just kind of go off the wild tangents. You know, let's put the Word into perspective, study it, and not be just swayed by every wind of doctrine. We have to have the right priorities. And I wrote down Psalm chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. And I'll just look at that real quick. This is why I don't like flipping around a lot. It takes time out of the message. But Psalm 1, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. This is talking about this type of Christian, a conscientious hearer. His delight is in the law of the Lord, or in Scripture, and on His law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. So we want to live that in our life. We want to be active hearers. We want to put the Word into practice in our lives. When our attitude or our mind and our lifestyle or testimony conform to the gospel we have received, and we do as we are taught. Faith not only comes by hearing, but it grows by hearing as well. And let me just skip down here to the end. You know, regardless of where we see ourselves in this parable, we can see that if we truly listen to and receive God's Word in our lives, it will produce a crop that will change our life and actions. Remember that it's not a one-time thing. This is something we have to deal with all the time. We're always, each time we hear the Word of God, we're responsible to see about how can this affect my life, or how can I put this into practice. And if we know that our hearts are not the proper receptacle for the Word, we need to break up that fallow ground and do whatever we need to do to humble ourselves for God. And so study, prayer, all of that. So, again, I couldn't really find any good illustrations for this, and I'll just I'll leave it at this, and we'll just pray that we do what we need to do in our lives, not to let any of those conditions of the heart, whether it's just totally hard or we're just shallow or casual listeners, or we're just choked by the world, but let's get back to what we need to do. My focus on the next couple of weeks is you know, getting back into my habit of being in the Word and prayer, and not being so consumed with projects at work. So each of us, let's make that our prayer.
We pray that we have been a blessing to you. For further assistance, call us at 864-270-1472 anytime. Send email to info@stlmm.org or visit our website at www.stlmm.org. Like any ministry, it costs money to operate. Please consider supporting this ministry as God leads you with your prayers and your financial gifts by going to www.stlmm.org and clicking on donations.